Well, Brother Murray said he would announce his own subject, but he requested to open with 30 and close with 171. So I think I could just about guess his subject. But we'll gladly turn the meeting over to him now. Brother Murray, please.
Thank
Yes, I am going to talk to you about the kingdom. In the now nearly 60 years that I've been in the service, I have prepared, I think, 4 or 5 talks on the kingdom. And from time to time, it was necessary to improve them. And not just recently, in the past 2 or 3 weeks, I made another one. And I hope you'll say this is the best. I think it is. And there's a reason why I think it's the best. So let's see what we have. And this is entitled The 1,000-Year Reign with Our Lord. Now we're all interested and we all wonder when it begun and when it will end. And that's what we're going to talk to you about. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelations 20 and 6. And some of you no doubt have heard this discussed recently in various ways. And now I am delighted to take it as our pastor has applied it. And I'm not interested in what anybody else has to say. You know, I have a talk on that servant showing the necessity and the beauty of his ministry. And I'm going to say this in the beginning, that in Revelation we are told that everything that God wished his people to know in these latter days, I have given to that servant. That star, that messenger, and he in turn will give it to you. Now, if you're interested, then all you have to do is to believe what that servant has had to say about this subject. That's what we're going to talk about. Now the great secret is, when did this 1,000 years begin, and when did the saints, the new creatures in Christ, those having part in the first resurrection, begin to have a part in Christ's reign? That's a good question. When? All right, did it ever occur to you, dear brethren, that this might be during the development of the embryonic new creature? And in the development of this embryonic new creature, that embryonic new creature, I like to repeat that to show you that it's all in that stage, is having a part in kingdom work now, while they are developing more and more this divine personality. See, as in the human fetus, in the beginning, how slight, but how more and how beautiful it's developed, until finally it's able to have an independent existence. Now this embryonic new creature is all the while subject to the mother, of course, as it's being developed. But there is a time when it will have independent existence. That won't be until we get that divine body. Now, you see, as we've already said this morning, how we are limited in our activities. Nevertheless, the Bible tells us plainly that we're having a part in kingdom work now. Now, I know everybody don't believe that, but I do. And I'll tell you why, as we go along. I like the thought of our pastor along these lines. Such as are found in What Star Reprint. Now, you take note if you want to and look it up for yourself. See that I'm not misrepresenting it. Now, volume 2, page 162. Now, this is a reprint. Volume 2, page 1642, I'll tell you right where it is, column 2, and paragraph 1, quote, "These exceeding great and precious promises of God, by which these are called and begotten, are incorruptible seed, and wherever retained," that's this incorruptible seed, you see, "nourished will develop into a being of the divine nature." 1 Peter 1:23 and 2 Peter 1 and 4. Again, in the reprint, page 1592, column 1, paragraph 3, we have a clear statement of this important issue. Quote, "The time of his presence is the entire 1,000 years of his reign." You get it? When he comes in 1874, what did he come for? He come to set up his kingdom. And he begun to reign then essentially in 1878. Our pastor is very positive about that. There, in 1878, he exercised his royal reigning power and authority. And he's been doing it ever since. Not mediating, no. No mediation until the mediator is all on the other side with him. But the trouble is, so many can't get the distinction between our Lord reigning now as the general of Jehovah, the fighter and the warrior, turning down everything that stands in the way of his mediation. Now then, that's the wreckage. And you see how everything is being wrecked today. There isn't a satisfactory government on earth today. Not one. And the devil has even lost his control over them, because up to 1914 he dominated. Yes, all the nations of earth, didn't make any difference what their government was. He was the the power that dominated, the satanic power up to 1914. Now then, you see, when our Lord raised the sleeping saints in 1878, he said, now, you know, they had to have a lot of instruction about what was going to happen, how they were going to proceed. Sure, you had to school them, tell them all about it. But now he says we can't do anything till 1914, when, just like that, the Gentile lease will expire. Then we'll strike. And I remember very distinctly they kept writing to Brother Russell about that time. Everything was quiet and peaceful worldwide. They had a peace conference just before that, and they had all their armaments there, and they said, look what we can do to one another, but we won't use it. And I think they shrunk some of it, if I remember rightly, to show you how they didn't mean to do any harm. No, they thought we've gained world peace. And Brother Russell said, before this year ends, I look for trouble. And a businessman in the world in 1914 could bank on tomorrow. Why? Because you had the status quo of things, and a man knew tomorrow would be like today. But who knows today what tomorrow will be? No status quo today. Everything is going through a gradual and terrific change. For the worse, mind you. Then in due time, when it's so bad, then our Lord will do like he did on the Sea of Galilee. Peace be still. And then there'll be a great calm. And that's the only government that we'll have that's satisfactory. All others have failed. Yes, so you see, our pastor says, this entire 1,000 years begun. And what will he do? He will banish all evil conditions by permitting first a great time of trouble. Yes, we're in it, mind you. Not in the worst of it. But now you see, according to the picture, the winds are blowing from every direction, trouble everywhere. But we haven't got yet to that stage of the perfect world. Now in that stage, he also tells us he thinks the evil spirits will have, and even the devil himself will have an active part in it. Now, if you let me just mention, you know, maybe some of you heard this, I wouldn't be a bit surprised in these flying saucers that you hear so much about. Now, this is just a thought. Don't say that I'm teaching it, but this is a good thought. That I'm inclined to think that these evil spirits who were denied the power to create, who could actually create a human being and dwell in it, all that power to create has been denied them all this time. Now, the final test upon them will be to grant them the power to create again. Well, what would they do if they're evil? Well, they would do something to create consternation here on the earth, wouldn't they? Sure they would. Well, ain't they doing it? Now, it's so rampant that I read in the paper recently that the government is going to appoint a committee. They say a big part of this we can explain, but there is some of it we can't explain. Now they're going to appoint a committee to actually look into these flying saucers and see what these that have not yet been defined and what it can be. What in the world is it? Well, now, you remember our pastor said he thought in these last days the evil spirits might actually appear in human form. That's not necessary now, because you know what they're doing? Why, they're just invading the minds of these teenagers, and a lot of things are going on, and you ask them, why on earth obsessed you to do the, I don't know, something just told me. See what's happening now today? And those that say that something just told me, it's not good, it's evil. Yes? So you can expect all kinds of evil conduct today. Why? Because the evil spirits in some way, it seems now, are entering into the minds of the young folks who have not been mothered. You see what a calamity this civilization is in. Oh, that great lack of mothering. And you ask a man who in the past was a statesman and a diplomat where he got his start. And he'll tell you, I got my start at my mother's knee. That's where I got it. But there is no such thing. You don't have statesmen or diplomats now. You just have political upstarts. That's all. And you see, we're in that mess. of things, and in the midst of it all, we are having a part in telling the world what's going to happen tomorrow. We know, the only people that do. And then to keep still? Oh, no. Well, now let's see. All evil conditions by permitting first the great time of trouble, Daniel 12:1. And then by causing conditions of righteousness and peace to supplant them. Now, this was a quote. That's not me talking. This was a quote. Second column, paragraph 1 in that citation in 1592. Well, then in paragraph 2, quote, now this is the same citation again, paragraph 2. He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the limited time of that reign is 1,000 years. I believe it. I don't care what anybody else says. But our Lord will rule and reign 1,000 years. And our pastor says, I think I've got it here, but I can't wait till I say it. It's one of my notes, but I'll say it right now. Then he says, the forerunner of that 1,000-year reign is the great time of trouble. And if we knew how long that would be, the time of trouble, we would know when he would begin to mediate. But we don't know. And God don't intend us for us to know. We just have to wait. Though it seemed to tarry, just wait. In due time, it will all happen. Well, now this statement is made that this will be just 1,000 years. End of quote. See, I'm just quoting because I don't like to talk to you. I like to quote Brother Russell. How, now note a similar statement found in volume 3, page 128. Quote, it must therefore be just as we have found it. Our Lord must be present, must test the living members of the church, must exalt them, and what do you know? Glorified saints here? That's right. Glorified saints here in the flesh. What a great honor it is to know God's plan and have the opportunity today to tell it out. Now, if we're not doing anything else but contributing to Frank and Ernest and the Bible Answers, we're doing a wonderful work because there are not only hundreds, but there are thousands of people are hearing that message every time it's on, and they're keeping still. They're just waiting. They say, oh, it sounds fine. Sounds good. But who are these people? Oh, they're just an insignificant bunch. They don't even have a church. They don't have no attired preacher, or no attired choir, or none of these things. Well, who are they? Why, they don't mount anything. Well, I don't think I want to join them. I'll wait and see. And they're waiting. But in due time, what will they say? Why, we see now these people that I ignored, thought they didn't mount anything. They were actually telling us the truth. And we didn't believe it. But now we see, but all they could have then would be the restitution here on the earth, you see. All the glorified work has been complete. Yes, and there's where we are, my dear friends. And then that's it. And then it says, then and associate them with himself. Now don't forget that. I said exalt. Members of the church must exalt and glorify them and associate them with himself in the power and authority to be exercised during the millennium. And mind you, we're 92 years in the millennium. That's right. Well, and this power and authority is going on in the tearing down and destroying of things that stand in the way of his righteous government. Now, take it literally. If you're a head of an army in one country and you want to overthrow another country, what do? Just go over there and take over, do you? Why, no, you send your army in there and first level them down, then you go in with your army, begin your government. Now, that's exactly what our Lord is doing. His army. Now, mind you, when I get to it, you'll find out there are two armies. Wonder who they are. Well, we'll find out. Now, his armies are now active in overthrowing the powers that be. And then when they're overthrown, then these two armies of our Lord will take over completely and establish the new order. Now, I know you're all interested in who those two armies are. Well, we'll find out. So you see, then in Revelation 15 and 10 and 20 and 6 again, there's that 20 and 6. Hear so much about thus doing your share. What are they doing? In the battle of the great day of God Almighty. What do you know? We're having a part in it. Undermining and finally overthrowing all the present Christian nations, so-called. Now that's the end of this quote. See, I'm not telling you anything, just quoting Brother Russell. Let us refresh our minds, dear brethren, as to the glorious position of the living saints yet here in the flesh. Now, some of you may think we ain't very important, but we're more important than you think in God's sight. Now, let's get his viewpoint. All right, let's go on. And now, dear brethren, do we not see the import Brother Russell's calling attention to the 149th Psalm, 5-9. Glory! Honored saints upon their beds. Oh, my. Well, that's not a picture on the other side. Why, we were all in creed beds at one time, and we couldn't stretch out, and we couldn't cover ourselves satisfactorily. We got out of them little narrow-minded creed beds, and now we're in a large, roomy, peaceful, comfortable bed. Just sat laying there, twiddling our thumbs, is that all? Sharp two-edged sword in our hand. The Bible. And the high praises of God in their throat. Yes, high praise of God in their throat. In their mouth. And a sharp two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance. Now note what it says, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. That would be the Gentile world and the people of Israel. That's the way our pastor puts it, and that's the way I believe it. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Now what's the next? They're fetters of iron. This honor have all his saints. Whether on that side or on this side, doesn't make any difference. They're all having a part in kingdom work, in the tearing down that makes way for the glorious power. This psalm, therefore, describes a time in which the saints are to do a judging work in respect to the world in general, as well in respect to Israel, God's people. Now, this is Brother Russell talking, not me. And how true this is, as we have a whole chapter. Now, this is Mike referring you to this. In Volume 2 on the antitypical John the Baptist and Elijah work. And we are informed that, quote, now I'm going to quote, John, a work at the first advent, foreshadowed the closing work of the church at the second advent, thus the feet of Christ, the feet of Elijah, announce the kingdom. Yes, the kingdom is in operation. To those who can receive it, now can you receive it? You get it? Now the record is that that's not me talking, but that's the way it's written. To those who can receive it. Yes, the kingdom is now in operation and we're having a part in kingdom work now. Yeah, that's right. To those who can receive it. Yes. We announce as at hand the reign of Christ glorified and likewise to those who can receive it. Now, our Lord is glorified now, you see. the reign of our Lord, Christ glorified. But we will be highly glorified when they're all on the other side, but those that are faithful here yet in the flesh are honored, are glorified, and that's the way that 149th Psalm reads. It says, let the saints be joyful in glory, but then at the end it says, this honor, this glory of all his saints. So their terms are synonymous. Glory and honor here means the same thing. So what a wonderful thing it is to have the honor, or the glorified privilege of having a part in kingdom work with our Lord now, right here in the flesh. And mind you, dear friends, it seems difficult for some to realize the importance of this honor. Yea, glory. That is those of the living feet members of the body of Christ at this time. Take notice that the head and the feet both are indicated as outstanding in the divine importance. The head, bright and shining like grass, like gold, brass, and white hair, all purity and all these things. But it don't say anything about the members of the body. Down through the gospel age, all the way down, they were all important, but not highly honored as the head members and the feet members. Why are the head members and the feet members so prominent? Because the head members had an active part in the great transition from the Jewish age to the gospel age. Now the feet members have a high, glorified honor in the conditions in regard to the changing of the gospel age into the millennial age. Get it? Sure. Why, it's nothing hard about it. In other words, to understand the divine plan of the ages is just a very simple thing. If you put it together right, it makes sense. Now you see, it's only the head and the feet that are so outstanding. Now we ain't through with the feet yet either. I think you know what's coming. Take notice that the head and the feet both are indicated as outstanding in the divine importance. Like wool, that's the head, as white as snow, representing splendor and purity, and his eyes wisdom and discernment, whereas a flame of fire, omniscience, that's knowing everything, knowing all things, and his feet. Now here's where we come in, my dear friends, don't forget it. And his feet, living members of the body, will down through the harvest period, they'll be like fine brass, refined copper. The Lord requires that the body members be refined, clean, yea, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, as if they burned in a furnace, representing the fiery trials of all the saints. The body members all down through the gospel age seem to be ignored, but only those at the ends of the ages seem to be of special importance. And that's us, those who are living up to their privileges at this time. Another quote. You know, I like to quote Brother Russell. Page 260, Volume 2. It must be that at the end of the age, the work of the John class, the Elijah class, closes with the announcement that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that the king is present. That's their work. There's a whole chapter in there on that subject. And that includes us, if we're living up to our privileges. Yes, this is now being done. And the exact words of John's testimony is applied with equal force at this time of the Lord's second advent. And what's that? There it is. there standeth one among you, invisibly present, whom ye know not. The Jews didn't recognize our Lord as their one that they were looking for. And now we're able to tell the world, there standeth one among you, there is one now taking over, and you don't know it, you don't understand it, you can't grasp it. No, that invisible individual is now doing his deadly work in laying low things that stand in the way of his mediation. And mind you, we're having a part in it, my dear friends. Yes. Now, my dear brethren, do you realize that all the announcing is the work of the living members of the body of Christ? All the things that are said today in regard to what's going to happen, we're the only people on earth that know anything about what's going to happen tomorrow. And then to be still about it? Can't do it. No. No, that kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that the King is present. Nobody can do that but us. This is now being done. Yes. Now then, all this announcing is the work of the living members of the body of Christ, yet here in the flesh. Now let us note Revelation 19:11, quote, "Where he that is called faithful and true goes forth in righteousness to judge and make war, the heavenly armies follow him." Verse 14, now there's your two armies. Now I'm interested, and I hope you are, in who these two armies are. Some of you may know. But now there is a great army on the other side, all in the spirit realm. And then there's also another army here yet in the flesh. And these two armies is evidently, as our pastor says, what is referred to here in Revelation 20:11, where he that is called faithful is doing all this. Brother Russell was in his last days considering the 149th Psalm and its full import, and he offers this suggestion as to the words armies, plural. See, it's in there, armies, plural, which seems to indicate the heavenly in two divisions. Now mind you, the heavenly in two divisions, one on this side of the veil and the other on this side of the veil. How interesting. Do you get it? Then those on this side of the veil would be glorified or honored saints. Do you get it? Then they're all highly honored and glorified in that sense. Now, if you have the thought that glorified only refers to the ones that in the divine nature, why, you're limiting the way it's used in the Bible, because the saints living here in the flesh are represented as being glorified in the honor and privilege that they have. Now, there's more of that later. I'm thinking you'll realize that. Now, let's see. Now let us consider some of the striking statements by our pastor in Volume 4 concerning the setting up of the kingdom, page 621. Now this is in reprint, Volume 4. Now this is a quotum, verbatim, and I want you to get full import of this. However, instead of the kingdom waiting for the living members, the army on this side of the veil, to finish their course, the kingdom work began at once, upon his arrival. Sure, upon his arrival. And the living ones on this side of the veil are privileged to know the ways of the kingdom and to engage in kingdom work before their change. Now, isn't that plain English? Could it be any plainer? We're now privileged to have a part in kingdom work now. Anybody that says that's all future, in no sense in operation. I don't know what they're talking about, that's all. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. Now then, and yet gain work for their change. And as they die, come to their end in these fallen bodies, will not fall asleep. What an interesting thing that is. Will not fall asleep. And as they die, will not fall asleep, but will be changeable of death. Resurrection, that's the completion of their resurrection, you see. Yeah, of the first resurrection, and it is written, blessed are the dead. Now, whoever heard of dead people dying? Now, who are these dead? Why, those that made that covenant by sacrifice. Now, blessed are they, the dead in Christ now, who have undergone this resurrection, and now they are ready for that divine body. Now, blessed is the dead now when? Well, who die in the Lord from henceforth? Why, 1878. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors while their work continue. Then he quotes Revelation 14 and 13. That's the way he puts it. Now, the dead in Christ, what a wonderful time it is for them to be living since 1878. Because not one of those will ever go into the sleep of death. They will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the Apostle Paul knew that, and our pastor knew it. And if anybody sees it different, that's their privilege. But I accept it as our pastor puts it. That's the way I believe it. And now another quote. You know, I just love to quote these things because he is the only one that really knew. And he was divinely given that power to explain to us. And now another quote, volume 4, page 623. Now get this. I want you to get this. We may not be able, now it's been there all these years, and I've read it through many, many times. I've read the volumes through, all of them, I don't know how many times. In the last two or three years, I've read them through, but I can't do it anymore because my eyes won't stand it anymore. But I've read them through enough, I hope. I think I've got the gist. Now listen. Center of the striking statements. All right, let me see. Yeah, we may not be able to judge accurately as to what features of the great work are now being carried on by the Lord and his glorified saints beyond the veil. Now here, once we get this now, listen. But we may be sure that they over there are active participants in the work assigned to the members of the same kingdom class whose course and service are not yet ended on this side of the veil. You get that? Why, they're cooperating with us. Because this work here, the antitypic of John the Baptist, antitypic Elijah work, comes first. That attempt to bring the hearts of the sons of the Father and the fathers of the sons is antitypic Elijah and John the Baptist work, but it won't succeed here. No. But they will actually do it on the other side, all of them. Now, I think that's stated here. Our pastor informs us that he saw the millennium. Wait a minute. You won't leave anything out. Yes, now here. Let us also note that the Lord began his reign when he raised the sleeping saints in 1878. And then in 1914, he took charge as the right-hand man in the kingdom. Why, this is the fifth universal empire, that took the place of the four awful beasts. And now this fifth universal empire will never end. But our Lord is a right-hand man in that. Anything that God wants done, he will do it. And what does God want done now? Tear down and destroy everything that stands in the way of your mediation. That's a bloody work. Sure it is. And we're having a part in it, mind you. Yes. Mind you, dear brethren. No, wait a minute. I'm leaving out something again. The fifth universal empire, which will never end. And in due time, our Lord takes charge of his own. Now, this is verbatim, quote, in that long article on Parousia, Epiphany, and Apocalypsis. I think it's 1903, I'm not sure. But he said, now our Lord is here doing this bloody work. Then he is in charge of his of this turning down and destroying. And then when that's done, he sets up his own glorious kingdom, the mediatorial kingdom. And all his reigning power and authority will end in 2878. And 1914, when you have that 40-year period when Satan is loosed, when God the Father takes over again, and then be their God. Now listen, if that 1,000 years is in no sense in operation now, then God can't take over at the end of the seventh day, which will be 2878 or 2914. Why? Because he said, I'll take over at the end of the seventh day. That's where the seventh day ends, in 2878 or 2914. Then the whole thing, our Lord will say, here they are, Father, the whole human race, all able to keep your law. And he will say, well, that's fine, but they can, but will they? Let's find out. Will they? Well, then Satan is loose. It might be from 2878 to 2914. And then Satan goes about and seeking whom he may deceive at that time. And our pastor makes this statement. He thought that the deluding at the end of the millennial age would be the failure to give God the credit for all that's happened during that time. Well, some of these smart guys might say, look what we've done. Well, now they can take your insides out and play with it and put them back. They can almost do that. Well, in a few more years, what might they do? And now this is increasing the power of man under the fallen condition. Well, now let me make this statement. I went to a factory one time recently in Columbus where a lot of women were working on intricate machinery. And I said to the man that's taking around, I said, did you ever stop to think all these things made by dead men? No, I don't know. I says, I explained it to him how our Lord said, now, the dead are burying the dead. Let the dead do that. Now, if a dead man can do what we have today, what can a live man do? We've fallen 6,000 years from what a live man was in the beginning, but what could he do today if he had access to what we have today? Fallen dead men are doing it now. But now you see what it's saying will be. Now then, and mind you, dear brethren, our pastor was convinced that our Lord would only rule 1,000 years. And the forepart of that 1,000-year reign would be the great time of trouble. So we see that our Lord will overcome all in this 1,000 years, all that Satan has brought about in snares and delusions in the 6,000 years. Let's put it days. The Satan has had 6 days in doing all his devilishment, cussedness, if you let me use the word. And now our Lord in one day, which will be 1,000 years long, will undo it all. He will undo all the evil that's been done in 6 days. Now, it is interesting to note how our pastor interpreted the familiar statement, the day of the Lord. Quote, now this is Wattstar reprint, 1884, page 592, column 1, paragraph 2. The day of the Lord is a term which, strictly speaking, refers to the whole period during which Christ will be present, or the entire millennial age. But it is generally applied to the scriptures to the coming, or the beginning of that day, to the period of time during which the gospel and the millennial ages lap, the one ending and the other commencing. End of quote. Now you see that merging of things is where the difficulty is. Everybody's trying to chop things off. Now whack them off. This ends and that begins. No, you can't do that. Everything is merged. And blend, just like when you see on the television, the one going out and the other coming in. That's the way it is. Everything is merged. And now then, our pastor informs us that we saw the millennial age in 1913. That's where he first began to see the thing. See Watchtower reprint page 51, 53, and 54. That's January the 1st, column 2, paragraph 4, quote, "The millennium has come. Everything is getting ready for the millennium. Not only is it coming, but it is here. We are now indeed enjoying its full..." Wait a minute, I'll read that right, you know. "We are not indeed enjoying its full blessings yet, but what we are enjoying is a foretaste of them in advance." We're having just a taste in all the things that are nice, with all the things that are bad, we have this to look forward to. It's going to get better, yes. But it can only get worse before it gets better. That's the sad part. "Everything is getting ready for the millennium. Not only is it coming, but it is here. We are not indeed enjoying its blessings, yes." Wait a minute. Now then, I want to go down to page 5155. Column 1, paragraph 3. "The wonderful things of our day," I want you to get this, "are foreglimpses of our early dawnings of the Messiah's thousand-year day, during which he will roll away the curse and shed forth divine blessings, all in 1,000 years. Messiah's kingdom will steal over the world gradually, coming through human channels, yes, entirely unaware of being used of the Lord." The world won't realize what they're doing when they bring in all these things. Now, if all that man is able to do today was only in construction, what a wonderful time it would be. The power we have today, if it was all spent in construction, how wonderful it'd be. But now it's being spent in destruction. The power we have today is all used to destroy. Well, let it destroy this order of things so we can have the new. That's the divine arrangement. Now then, Messiah's kingdom will steal over the world and in that way. Now, in conclusion, dear brethren, let us not forget the glory and honor that the living members of the body of Christ have while yet here in the flesh. Now you know what's coming, don't you? How beautiful upon the mountains the governments of earth today, all the governments. How beautiful are the feet of him, the feet of Christ, outstanding, bright and shining as burning brass. Like burning brass, refined copper, pure and clean, that bringeth good tidings. Nobody else can do that. Bringeth good tidings of good that publishes salvation. The only people that has a remedy for the conditions of the world today. For the salvation that saith unto Zion. Now you see there are three Zions here we might use. Typical Zion, the Jewish people. Nominal Zion, Christendom. And the real Zion, the members of the body yet here in the flesh. We can tell them all. This glorious proclamation. And what is that? Thy God reigneth. The fifth universal empire that will never end. But our Lord will be the active agent through that until he sets up his own glorious kingdom, which will be the mediatorial kingdom. Now then, remember this. Our Lord says, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne when I set it up, even as I am now seated at my Father's right hand in his kingdom. You get it? We will have the same privilege, the members of the body of Christ, that he has now in the Father's kingdom. We will have that same privilege as a right-hand power in our Lord's mediation. You get it? That's what he says. You will have the same privilege when I set up my kingdom. So that's the glorious proclamation that we have in conclusion. Let us not forget, dear friends, that the kingdom work is gradually going on. And it's the doing away with the rubbish that stands in the way of the mediation. And our Lord then will only rule 1,000 years. And then you see, if you let me add, in the 20-time proofs about this matter in your reprints, you all have it, I think, in the last item he says, now you divide this 7,000 years in 3,530 or something like that, 520 I think it is, in the middle, from the creation to the overthrow of Zedekiah. And then in the latter half, from the overthrow of Zedekiah until the final overthrow of satanic power and authority on the earth. It'll all be done in 7,000 years. No more. Well, now, if that's in no sense in operation, as some think today, then we have to go way beyond the seventh day to get that 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's not necessary, because the saints are living in the flesh are having a part in kingdom work now. Now, you see, I've been having a part in it, I'm convinced, from 1907. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. The Bible don't say every living member will have 1,000 years. Well, what proof have we got? Well, you remember the parable of the vineyard? Remember, our Lord went out at different hours and got people to work in the vineyard down through the gospel age. That's what he's done. But now, in the end, in the 11th hour, at the very close, that's right now, somebody is making a consecration and entering into the vineyard work. And then when the payday comes, you remember, you know what I mean, I'm an old railroad man, I remember payday. Payday is coming for the saints. Now when that comes, what's he going to do? He's going to give a penny to the last one that came in and had a part. And then some of those have been in a long time. What do you know? Well, that don't look right. He says, we've been going through the heat of the day, and here you give the same pay to those come in the last minute. Haven't I got a right to do what I please with my own? Didn't I tell you I'd give you a penny? And he told the other few men, he didn't say what he'd give them, but he said, go in. And I think that statement is that whatever is right is not in the in the original. That's spurious. But anyway, he said, go in and get busy. So they did. But they got the same pay. The dough has been working all through the vineyard time. That's his right and privilege. So you see, that don't mean that every member in the body of Christ must have 1,000 years in the reigning. Those of us in this present time will only have a part. So I thank you, and may the Lord bless you. And don't forget now that we're having a part in this 1,000-year reign right now.
Thank you, Brother Murray, for your thoughts. And would you like to send your love back with Brother Murray?
Yeah.
And on with Brother Murray.
I'll go to
Puma then. Oh, very well. You can take our love over there, too.
Okay.
171. Let us close with 171.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. We thank thee that thou hast opened our eyes, and our ears were able to hear and see and understand this great divine plan of the ages, as it unfolds as a beautiful flower. And now in its last stages of unfolding, getting ready for the full outgrowth of this beautiful flower, we're able to see and comprehend the various petals of this beautiful divine plan of the ages. And now may we not, as we have refreshed our minds and hearts this day, in the privilege we have now, while yet in the flesh, of having a part in kingdom work before our change, let us realize the honor and the glory that we have in this wonderful privilege of telling the world in advance, before it happens, the glorious millennial reign, the golden age in which all the blessings of God will be poured out on humanity. And thus in the end, all will be able to look up and lift up their voices in holy adoration of Him that sitteth upon the throne, and to Jehovah God, the great author, and the one who has set the whole plan in motion, and able to see the Lamb of God, the great agent who has been used in carrying it out, and also the bride of Christ, the great mother. And may we realize that in the end, our Lord, the King, and the Father, and the Church, the second Eve and the mother, will regenerate, reanimate the whole human race until in the end they will all be able to look up to Jehovah God and accept Him as their great grandfather indeed. And they will be His grandchildren indeed. May the Lord add His blessing. We pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.